share with you on various occasions, and one of my fond memories of the very first weeks of my life in Australia was gathered around that heater. I think it might have been an older one than that one, actually, for early morning prayer with a group of colleagues in the immediate region. And in the very first weeks, I was invited to come and join that cluster, and we prayed in the cold for the good things of God. And that wonderful relationship has continued. This morning we are, as has already been mentioned, the rotating rectors and visiting the different churches. Peter is down at the Church of Christ, and David is at New Hope, and I have the privilege of being here. And we do this not simply to just kind of rest the congregations, although that's a good thing. We do it to speak of our unity in Christ. We do it to emphasize the fact that though we are in different traditions, we serve and love and worship the one Lord. And we do it to remind ourselves of the strength that we have together in community. Come celebrate our big corporate initiative just around the corner. And I do encourage you to be very much involved, as I know you are practically in the detail. Coming along and inviting friends to sit on the rug with you as the Christmas message is shared and supporting it together. And it's a wonderful privilege to be in this initiative as one community of churches working together. This morning I want to reflect together with you on the theme of God's cosmic plan. God's gift to all of us as believers, the gift of a cosmic plan. God's gift to everyone, everywhere, they'd receive it, the gift of a cosmic plan. Have you ever received the gift of a plan? It's a wonderful thing when someone gives you a good plan. Linda and David received the gift of a plan. Let me tell you about it. It happened this way. Every Thursday was a very busy day for Linda and for David. He always had to work back. His boss set this meeting after hours, after tea, and every Thursday he had to, with all the other employees in the business, go to this meeting later in the evening. So on that night, Linda used to do volunteer work at the local school. This particular week, it was school break. Linda didn't have her volunteer work on. She had a free night. And would you believe it? The boss canceled the late meeting. David arrived home well before tea, met Linda at the door and said, "I don't have to work tonight." Linda said to David, "And I don't have any volunteer work tonight. We have a free night." What happens next? He looks at her and says, "What do you want to do?" She says, "I don't know. What do you want to do?" And half an hour later, everybody's in a bad mood and the night's spoiled. No, not on this occasion. Not on this occasion, because David says, "I have a free night and I have a plan. I've made reservations. I've got tickets. Do you trust me?" And what follows is a wonderful evening, because Linda has been given, and in fact David has received as well, the gift of a plan. The gift of a good plan can bless you. It can put a good deal of joy in your life. Brian received the gift of a plan. He was a primary school student. He loved to play chess, but he wasn't that good at it, really. His brother could beat him quite frequently. His dad, his mom beat him most of the time. And it's fun to play a game, but you have to win at least occasionally to keep up your interest in the game. Brian went off to school and he met a mate at school whose dad was a chess master. And this little fellow in his grade school class with him, he knew a few things about chess. He started to teach Brian. He said to Brian, "I can show you how to win more games. You just have to get your first 6 to 8 moves right. You need a plan, Brian." And he taught him a few opening gambits. He taught him how to take control of the center of the board. So Brian came home from school and put his new plan to action. And he could beat his brother every time. He put his plan into action. He could beat his dad most of the time. He could even beat his mom once in a while. He had a plan. You know, the gift of a plan can put you on the front foot. The gift of a good plan can give you success. The gift of a good plan can give you a hand up. It can lift you in life. Janet and I, some years ago, received a wonderful gift. And within it was the gift of a plan. we received a holiday. We had traveled with our church for a significant season, and there was a moment of honor, and some people got together and gave us a wonderful holiday. That's a good thing to do for your pastor, for his wife, for the family. We received this gift of a lovely holiday. And we went off, and for 7 days, we had just beautiful scenery, beautiful environment, beautiful pampering. Now, the wonderful thing about that gift of a holiday was within it was the gift of a plan. You see, for 7 days, everything was organized. Janet didn't have to think about a meal. I didn't check my diary. We didn't make a to-do list. We didn't even talk on the phone. We didn't do any of those things that so consume our daily lives as we chase and race. We had a plan. And it was a good plan. The hardest decision we made over that journey was, can I lift this fork to my mouth one more time? It was just wonderful. And the gift of a plan, you know, I never felt so rested. I never felt so at peace as in that season when everything was just being looked after. The gift of a plan can give you rest. It can give you peace. God has a cosmic plan. He knows what He's doing. What He's doing is good. I want you to be a part of it. There's more to come. He's got a cosmic plan. And He wants you to receive it this Christmas. It is the best Christmas gift you will be offered this Christmas season. He's got a cosmic plan. And to receive that plan is to know such blessing, such promise and hope and privilege, such peace, such rest. But you know, you have to receive the gift. Even the gift of a plan, you have to receive the gift. Imagine if Linda had turned to Brian and said, what, you got the evening planned? You got reservations, you got tickets. How do I know where you've bought tickets? I'm staying home doing my own thing. She'd lose the gift of a plan. If Brian had said to his schoolmate, no, I don't want to learn all those moves. I'll just do my own thing. He'd keep losing the games. And you might be sitting there thinking, someone else planning your holiday and telling you what to do for 7 days. How terrible. All confined and all controlled. How annoying. Well, you have to receive the gift of a plan. You have to be open to it. You have to surrender yourself to it. And God's cosmic plan is a gift, a wonderful gift that blesses and successes and rests those who receive it. Will you receive God's cosmic plan? Will you embrace it? Will you step into God's purposeful oversight of this universe, celebrate it, and live within that hope and care? It is a wonderful, wonderful gift to the world, and a gift that we celebrate at this Advent season. I'd like to read you the verses of a psalm and introduce you to a man who wholeheartedly embraced God's cosmic plan, David, king in Israel, shepherd boy in his family, who wholeheartedly and unreservedly embraced the notion of God's cosmic plan. Yes, God is over all things. He knows what He's doing. And as I read these verses, listen for the heart of one. Listen for the insight of one who wholeheartedly embraces God's cosmic plan. It's a model for all of us. Psalm 103, and I'll read the 22 verses of the psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now those are the words of one who was sold out to God's cosmic plan. Absolutely convinced that God knew what He was doing and was in control. And in those verses, we see some of David's insights. I reckon that David had four simple insights. I wonder if you and I embrace those same insights today. That God is knowingly, lovingly, welcomingly, continuously over all things. He knows what He's doing. What He's doing is good. He wants you to be a part of it. And there is more to come. God is knowingly, lovingly, welcomingly, continuously over all things. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. That's gargantuan. But if you believe it, and if you sell your life out to it, it is amazing. God's cosmic plan. It is a gift this morning. Let's start with the first one. God is knowingly involved. He's knowingly over all things. God knows what He is doing. There are days of the week when it's hard to come at this one, really. There are seasons of life when it's hard to embrace this as true. But if you see it as a cosmic plan and not just as a fleeting few days or weeks, and this is what David embraced, that God knows what He is doing. There's a start to finish perspective here, not just a slice of my life or this week or that person's experience. There's something big and wonderful, and God is over it all, and He knows what He's doing. Have a look at verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. That's the perspective that David takes. And it is the perspective of a heart that has embraced God's cosmic plan. God has a throne. He has established that throne above all things. He oversees all things. And every part of this universe is a part of His domain. Nothing surprises God. You know, when Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem and they couldn't find a place to stay that night, God was not sitting in heaven, wondering and confused. Nothing surprises God. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, God did not step back in heaven and say, "How did that happen?" There are no surprises to God. God is over all things. He is Lord of this universe. He has placed His throne in the heavens, and His dominion touches every corner of all that He has created. Now, do I understand this? Can I make philosophic sort of sense of it all? Can I really understand what it means to say that God controls all things and is over all things? I'll be honest with you. This morning, I cannot make absolute philosophic sense. But I embrace it with all my heart. Because in the Scriptures, I read of a God who knows what He's doing. And He brings that knowledge to serve His children. If you perplex on this long enough, it will confound you. How can a God who knows everything, how can a God who is aware of all my decisions right through to the end of my days actually say that I'm free? I don't get that. If God is sovereign, how can I be free? Well, that's a wonderful philosophic question and worthy of debates long into the evening in young adult groups. Turn it around and you discover a wonderful, wonderful truth. The all-knowing God wants to use that infinite knowledge to serve you and me. That is amazing. He lets us make choices. He lets us make bad choices. And still loves us. And still brings that infinite knowledge to serve His children. I don't know how. I don't know why an infinite God would do that. But my Scriptures tell me that He does. And my life's experience proves it. He has a cosmic plan. He knows what He's doing from start to finish. There are no surprises to Him. And He brings His infinite knowledge to serve His children. You know, in the game of chess, there is still no computer that can beat the grandmasters at chess. Did you know this? We do not have a chess engine, a computer chess game, that can play perfect chess. I didn't realize this until just recently. I was reading an article. And even though we've got really great Intel processors and gigabytes of memory, we cannot build, at this moment, a computer that can always play perfect chess. Will we someday? Maybe. I don't know. But for the moment, we can't. Do you know why? It's because of the escalating number of choices in the game of chess. Now follow me for a moment. If you're sitting at a chessboard, it's your turn to move. You're several moves into the game. You can move any of your pieces. Let's assume that you have 20 possible moves that you can make. All right? You choose one of those moves and you make that move. Your opponent now has 20 moves that he or she can make on the basis of that one move. If you'd moved another piece, that would have been 20 moves on the basis of that. So there are 400 options by the time your opponent plays. It comes back to you now, and there are 400 options hanging off of those 400 options. You've got 1,600 options. Do you know by the time you get to four moves in a chess game, you've got over 2 billion options? Over 2 billion branches in the tree? No processor can keep up with that. Because a chess game doesn't end in four moves. It goes on, and it grows exponentially. And so chess engines cannot play perfect chess because they cannot chase down all the branches in the tree. Do you know what they do when they build a chess computer game? They get the computer to sort out the most likely choices early up. Instead of the 20 moves that you could make, we'll only chase 5. So the computer is always blind to 15 times 15 times possibilities in your game. The computer is only looking at likelihoods as it starts out. Aren't you glad we don't have a God who only looks at the 5 most likely possibilities in your life? They use these chess engines to teach people to play chess. You might think of it as the machine that's built to beat you. But if you turn it around and you use it to teach people to play chess, it can improve the game until they get to a certain place when they're too good for a machine that won't think outside the box. Do you see how awesome it is to have a God who knows all and brings that infinite knowledge to serve His children? So whatever mistake you made yesterday, the choices that are before you today branch out into billions of options into the future, and God has chased down every branch in that tree. And He knows what is ahead of you. He knows what options there are. And He wants to bring that infinite knowledge in His infinite grace to bear upon your life. That is astonishing. That is astonishing. The gift of a cosmic plan. What's more, this God who knows what He's doing, what He's doing is good. He's not only knowingly involved and smart, He's lovingly involved and compassionately concerned for you. He can chase down all the billions of options in your option tree. And when you wake up in the morning, you've got more than 20 options. And multiply that more than 20 as you make your second choice and as people respond to you. Life is huge. And God is knowingly and lovingly involved in it with us. Listen to what David discovered. He writes about it in this psalm. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He's very slow to say, "Why did you make that stupid choice?" And very quick to say, "There are some other choices up the road that can redeem this. There are some options and possibilities. There are some good things ahead." David goes on. He says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love to those who fear Him." Those who come to God knowing that He is over all things, He knows what He's doing, and He's lovingly involved, will experience His great love. "And as a father has compassion over his children," or on his children, "so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him," David says. These are wonderful verses. David spells it out in very practical terms as he has experienced it in his own life. Who is this God who is lovingly involved? Well, He's the God who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. David knew what he was talking about. He had sinned a few times. He committed murder once. He did that to cover up adultery. He knew what it was to be way out on the edge of bad choices. to be way out on the edge of forsaking God. And yet he discovered in the knowing, loving involvement of God in his life, a God who forgives and heals even as he is forgiving. This God who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, he says. David knew what it was to be rescued from the pit. He had been on the wrong side of politics. He had been a hunted man. He had been a man that the political powers wanted to snuff out. He knew what it was to be in the pit. He knew what it was to be in the pit of depression when his son died. He couldn't see any tomorrow or any value in going there. He was in a pit. And he writes, "This God who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." He's lovingly involved in our lives. How wonderful is that? And then he says, "This God who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Do you believe in a God who satisfies your desires with good things? David did. A God who was knowingly and lovingly involved in his journey, who would satisfy his desires. Desires are not given to us as something negative, and somehow we always have to deny. Actually, God wants to satisfy desires. And he can do it better than we can. He knows better than we do what will truly satisfy those deep desires of our lives. This was David's experience, lovingly involved in his life. Knowingly, lovingly, and welcomingly involved, David's third insight was that this God who knows all and who loves so profoundly actually welcomes you and I into this cosmic plan. It is a drama from start to finish over which God is the director, the superintendent. He has it under control. But somehow in his infinite capacity and wisdom, he welcomes you and I to be a part of it. He says that we can involve ourselves in his cosmic plan and not lose our identity, not lose our own freedom. He welcomes us. So look at this. "He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." Do you remember that day when God called Moses aside in the desert and said, "Moses, I want to share something with you. I want to tell you what I am up to." And God pulled the curtain back on his cosmic plan so that Moses could see, so that Moses could tell. He did it again at the birth of Jesus. God pulled the curtain back on his cosmic plan and showed us the exact representation of himself in Jesus. And again and again and again through the scripture's revelation, we see God's welcoming hand in history. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to know him. In fact, if we seek him, we will find him, the scripture says. And his cosmic plan is not something that's out there and so big that it never touches us. God is knowingly involved in this world. He is lovingly involved. He is welcomingly involved. He wants to have a relationship with you that is personal and invitational and intimate and real. He welcomes us. And here's David's fourth insight, and in some ways the most exciting for today, for Advent season. God knows what he's doing. What he's doing is good. He wants you and I to be a part of it. And there is more to come. God's knowing, loving, welcoming involvement is a continuous involvement through future history. You know, we are being invited to something that's not all finished and the last chapter's done and we're just getting in after the fact. We're actually invited to be a part of God's cosmic purposes, and there is more to come. That's what we celebrate at Advent. That this is not all there is. Thank God for that. That what we read in the newspaper and what we hear on the radio as we wake up in the morning is not the commentary on what really matters. That there's more to come. And that the Jesus whom the Jews waited for, their Messiah, who has come and died for our sins and rose from the grave, will come again. And we, his followers, wait for him. We, his followers, expect him. We, his followers, with urgent and eager hearts, anticipate his return. There is more to come. And God invites us to be a part of his cosmic plan with the knowledge that the best is yet ahead of us. I wonder if you believe that. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your track record in life has been. It doesn't matter who you are or who you're related to. the better things are ahead. Do you believe that? In God's cosmic plan, it's absolutely true. The better things are ahead. What a marvelous gift. Unlike most Christmas gifts that will be opened this Christmas, and as soon as they're opened, the best is over. Because it'll be broke by New Year's Day. As soon as it's opened, the luster is off it. But not this gift. This gift is better tomorrow than it was yesterday, and has eternity as its promise. From everlasting to everlasting, the text says, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. Those are phenomenal bookends. I understand start and finish. I understand beginning and end. But this is from before the beginning, everlasting, until after the end, everlasting. And that's where God's cosmic plan reaches. And those who receive it, embrace it, and live embraced by it, have the privilege to live into that eternity. God's cosmic plan. What a gift. You know, the gift of a good plan can bless you. It can give you success. It can fill your life with the measure of peace and hope. The gift of God's cosmic plan can do all of this and more. He is knowingly, lovingly, welcomingly, continuously involved in the order of all things and wants to be so in your life. Will you receive God's gift of a cosmic plan? Let me lead you in prayer. Loving Lord Jesus, we celebrate this day the coming of your gracious presence into this world as an infant, as a man, as God, as Savior, as Lord. We celebrate your wonderful life, Lord Jesus, as the cornerstone and the centerpiece of God's cosmic plan. And today as we bow in worship, today as we celebrate the coming of Christ, we celebrate the wonder of God's sovereign purposes in this world. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, gracious God. Help us, Spirit of the living God, so to surrender our lives and so to embrace your gift of a cosmic plan, that our lives will be gathered up in all that you are on about in this world, and that we will serve you well. To the glorious purposes of Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.